touch anything. It's the greatest find yet. Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.
Welcome to The Real Deal with me, Larry Lawton, and my sidekick, Nick, is in the studio. How you doing, Nick?
Pretty good. How you doing, Larry?
We're going to have a great show, everybody. We have a show today, and it's a hot Monday, I call it, because, you know, it's getting hotter in Florida, number one, and we got a good show about private prisons today. A young guy did a documentary, and we're going to be talking to him. We just watched the documentary. I watched it a few times now. What did you think of that documentary?
It was very well put together.
Yeah, very well. It doesn't shock me, but it might shock some people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did it shock you at all?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought every prison was private.
Oh, no. States run their own prisons.
Okay.
And the federal system runs their own system. You know,
Oh, there's feds. Okay, yeah.
Oh, there's feds that. And
yeah,
state.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And they were supposed to be run by the state or the federal government, not a private company that has a profit margin. But we'll get into that in a minute.
He said, yeah, they cut costs.
Yeah, you know, you might figure out why they cut costs. It's simple as that. And if they do, well, we're going to go into that and the documentary. And it's pretty cool, to be honest with you, the whole entire documentary. I thought it was pretty cool. So it'll be fun. And the private prison, it's called Private Prison is the Most Evil Industry in America. This guy did a great job. His name's Scott. But anyway, we're going to talk to him in a little bit. Before I get started, you know, I got to talk about the book, and that's why I wanted to do this show, Private Prison Show, because, you know, as people could see, the book Gangster Redemption right here, I wrote that book, and I wasn't in private prisons, so I was in some county jails, and I was in, of course, state prisons and federal prisons, of course, but not privately run prisons. Now, I've been in privately run prisons since I've been out, when I went and spoke to some kids, and I went and did some consulting for parents and stuff like that. And, oh, you know, they come up like they know what they're doing, but, oh, boy, we're going to get into private prisons. That's why the book Gangster Redemption talks about the abuses going on in regular prisons. Could you imagine the abuses going on in private prisons? And that's amazing. So it's really pretty cool, to be honest with you, to hear young people like this get into this. Now, this is going to be a lot of fun. We also got, you know, everybody knows, Crooked Diamond Cigar. If you have not tried a Crooked Diamond Cigar, go to crookeddiamondcigar.com, crookeddiamondcigar.com, and you can check out our cigars. We will, within the next about 30 days, right, we have a private starter pack coming out.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be
a month and a half, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a month and a half. You know, things always happen slow in the cigar industry, for sure. But it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to have all of our cigars, one of each. And a cutter and a lighter and an ashtray. So it's going to be a lot of fun doing that. So we're going to have a lot of fun doing that. So this Monday, what did you do the weekend, Nick?
This weekend, what did I do? I got a nice Saturday off.
Oh, pretty nice.
So I hung out with Morty.
Oh, Morty's your dog.
Yeah, Morty's my dog. So we hung out, watched Moon Knight, ate some pasta.
You're not into bestiality or anything, are you, Nick?
What the fuck?
Well, I don't know. You hung out with your dog.
Fuck that.
Oh, no. I think you're pretty...
I'm not going to no... bestiality shows in New York, like people. I know.
Are you talking about when I was a kid, Nick? Back when I was a kid,
hit the crickets.
Yeah, back when I was a kid, back in the day, you know, in 19. This is what happens when Nick said that.
Oh, doesn't even know his own buttons. There we go.
You know, back when I was a kid, 42nd Street was a fucking, you know, it was the dirty
wild west.
Holy shit. I mean, they had shows. You know, we were a kid. I remember back in the, you know, late 70s, even I was a kid and, well, not really a kid. I was still technically an adult, but I used to go to those places and you'd walk into these places, you'd see sex on stage, you see this shit on stage, and it was like, wow, holy shit, is that real?
And then out comes the dog.
Man, when I saw German Shepherd, man, that was crazy.
All right, okay.
Never looked at a dog the same. I know it's crazy and sick, but that's what New York was about, man. You know,
that was New York's culture.
No.
The nightlife.
No, I'm saying New York had 42nd Street in that area. That was a very seedy part of town. But don't get me wrong. You know, there's a part of me that misses that.
The
42nd. No.
Oh.
The 42nd Street in New York is all, you know, cleaned up now. I took you there when we went, we did the Empire State Building.
Was that the Plays?
The Plays and everything. Okay. Any, all of that 42nd Street area, I took you to, how now, you know, the street vendors and thousands. And it used to be like that, but it used to be shady. I mean, shady. Sex shop after sex shop after porn show after porn show. You know, and that's when the industry was really big, the sex industry. And not that it's not big now. It's the biggest industry in the world.
People just aren't paying for it.
They just you get it free on YouPorn and Pornhub and XTube and XVideos. And not that I know all about that stuff, XHamster. I just run across some of this stuff when I'm on TV, you know, or not TV, on the computer. So I always keep saying TV show because we have a show coming out, the Cigar Show with Larry Lawton. I keep saying it's
a web series.
It's a web series. But Nick keeps saying, it's a web series. It's not TV. I said, it's going to be a TV show.
Not a TV show.
It's a TV show in my mind. Okay. And that's all that counts.
I guess that's all that counts.
That does count. So, Nick, what else happened on the weekend? I had a pretty good weekend. I pretty much got some rest. I slept for 12 straight hours.
With a pulse or without a pulse?
I probably had no pulse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just checking.
I mean, it's just that I needed it. You know, sometimes you need it and that's it. And when you and that happens, you just. You do it. You get that sleep that you need. That's the end of it. And then I feel good.
You hung out with your mom? Watched 48?
I watched actually 48. I don't know. Whatever that this show is, 48. And it had about the Grossly Green. It's the case right here in Brevard County about a murder 20-some-odd years ago. And the guy didn't do it. And how to prosecute
it. Just pinned it on him.
Fucking crap. Oh, my God. And the guy, you know, the Supreme Court's not going to hear his case. And that's normal. It's not like because of innocent and guilt. I just don't have time to hear thousands and thousands of cases around the country. It's a shed because this guy's life is over. And I hate it.
Did he die in prison?
No, he's still alive. He just had to go back this year. This is an active case. I had John Torres, who's a big reporter for Florida Today, and we talked about the case, and he knows.
Is this where the guy got out and then he has to go back to prison?
Right.
I seen that on the news. That is fucked up.
Isn't that fucked up? Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm gonna have him on again, John Green, John Torres, and he's a good guy. He's a reporter, and he's originally from New York, and we click, and he does a lot of good investigative reporting and stuff on these things. So I'm gonna talk to John and say about that because I think he wanted to wait till after the 22nd, which was when that show aired. So I think that was
strategic.
About. Yeah, kind of like. I mean, we're trying to get as much traction as we can, I guess.
Yeah.
That maybe the governor could see it or somebody could see that. It's a shame. It really is. That whole case is a shame. And it drives you nuts to see something like that. It really does. In my mind, it does anyway. And I can't stand it. So anyway, let me go back. Now, we're going to have Scott on. We're going to talk about the prison system. So first of all, the weekend, you had a good weekend in, right?
Yes.
Morty was all right. Let everybody know
hips,
who Morty
his hips
is.
Hips are going. Morty's my dog. He's about to turn 5 in June. An American bulldog, stocky as hell, short.
You know,
85 pounds.
Yeah, he's a tough looking little dog, big dog, I guess. And you know, we are dog friendly here, so Nick.
Oh yeah, he comes over sometimes.
Nick can bring the dog anytime.
Hangs out on the couch.
He sits on the couch. He has his own mat on the couch, and he'll sit there not giving a shit. My two cats are funny with him, because this is again, we are animal friendly business, and the two cats all look like, who's in my house, man? Motherfucker. Yeah. Then he surrounded them. One was on, you remember that? One was on one corner. This dog said, what the fuck am I in here? What's going on?
He starts shaking a little. He said, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. These fucking cats are quick.
I said, you're in the wrong neighborhood, you see?
Cats look like that, too. You know? Yeah. Hey, you, get him on the right side. Don't fucking let him go. Get his leg. Get his leg. Get the bad leg.
Yeah, go for his bad leg. We've seen it.
We've seen him glimping here. Get that bad leg. No, Morty's such a nice dog. And he scares people.
Yeah,
when you first see him. That was a pretty good dog, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I
oh, your dog. Your dog and he had that whole underbite going on, the bug and everything.
Anyway, Morty's my buddy now. I like Morty. And you know, something's bothering me. Nick's gonna think I'm crazy. Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, what is it? The rain? Oh my God. You need help, dude. For everyone who didn't see it, he just got up and fixed a strap that was a little twisted on the chair.
I just couldn't help it. It was going to bother me for the rest of the show.
Don't look around. Stop. All right. Let's
show. I am so.
Good thing I pulled that battery out of the wall.
Oh, yeah. That was next thing. Is the one behind me, please? I don't want to look.
Don't look.
Is it?
I told you not to look.
Oh, wow. He's gone. Nick is really knowing me. Am I that bad?
Yeah.
I got ADD.
OCD.
OCD, ADD, every DDD. Every ADD. I got more acronyms at the end of my name that I look like a fucking doctor, but I'm a patient. No, guys, we're having a lot of fun. All right, we ready? You think we're ready to call
Scott?
Let's call
up Scott.
Let's call Scott about the prisons. Okay. So, Nick, what did you think? We're going to talk to him. Hold on, of course.
I like journalist-type videos on YouTube, especially. Like, I'll watch a two-hour video on Disney World, like Yesterworld. His name's Yesterworld. He does a bunch of, like, one time he spent 2 hours on a video in, like, 6 months trying to find a Wii McDonald's training game, and I watched it for about 2 hours.
Wait, what? Explain that to the audience again.
So this guy does, you know, investigative journalism on just, like, the most random topics, and one of his videos was a Wii, you know, the Wii that you...
The Wii is the game, the console Wii.
Well, McDonald's came out with a training program, like a video game, and then it got buried, and no one knew where it went, and he spent like 7 months trying to find the game and then unlock the game, and that's all the video was.
Wait a minute.
It was just him trying to get a password from an employee, but no employees knew any of the passwords because it didn't go very far.
And you watched two hours of that. And
it's just the way he words things and keeps you on the hook. And it was probably like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. But it was a whole YouTube video.
Wow. You think I'm fucked up?
A lot more about Disney World and how, you know.
I feel pretty good. If you're that fucked up, I feel pretty good. All right. Now we're going to try something here. And, you know, we have to try this guy. Scott, and I think it's going to be pretty good if...
I'll have to show you Yesterworld someday. Sometime.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I don't know how much I'm going to want to watch it, but...
I suggest good videos, do I not?
Okay, well, you know, we're going to see anyway.
You got hooked into the Star World.
Oh, I did. I totally did.
Hooked.
All right, we're going to fucking try to Scott and see what he says. This is Scott.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing? You are live on the show, so we're letting you know that. How you doing, Scott?
Doing all right, Larry. Just waking up, I guess. How are things with y'all?
Well, we're always good here. You know, we're up all times of the night and day. But, you know, we were just talking to the audience about, first of all, about your docuseries. We're going to let you introduce yourself. What you do, your channel is, I think it's Ziggy Snake, right?
Ziggy Snake, yeah.
With a C, C-I-G-G-Y, because there's a Ziggy's right around here, it's a bar, and it's Z-I-G-G-Y. Ah. So it's Ziggy's with a C, C-I-G-G-Y, Snake.
It's like cigarette.
Yeah,
a cigarette. Hanging out the snake's mouth? I like that.
Oh, yeah, is that?
Ziggy Snake.
Oh, see, I'm not that fast, Nick. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Anyway, Scott did
kind of silly.
Scott does, like, I would say, what would you call it? Documentaries on I guess. Go ahead.
Documentaries, video essays. That's like the general term for the genre of video that I make.
And okay, you did a great video that really caught my attention. I actually met Scott on Discord, and he was telling me about a video he made. I remember watching this video. I told you a while back, Nick, and I just watched it again, Scott, this morning. And, you know, it's a great video. It's still relative. I watched it pretty much when it came out, I guess. It came out last August, I think it was. Wasn't it August 22?
Yeah, around August. I think I told you about that video either September or October last year. So.
Right. I ended up watching it, and I said, man, this is good. We got to have him on sometime. I'm glad he is on, and we're going to talk about the video because, of course, it always touches a chord with me when we do stuff about private prisons or prison stuff or stuff of that nature, especially because I know so much about it. First of all, the video is about 13 minutes long, and anybody wants to watch it, Give them how to find this video, Scott.
Yeah, so just go on YouTube, search up Siggy Snake. It's my, what's the channel name for it? Or the title for it, I think at the moment, is Private Prisons, the Most Evil Industry in America. Just search up either one of them. You should be able to come across it. And, yeah, check it out.
What a title. Most Evil.
Yeah, I mean.
I feel it's accurate. It's
not clickbaity. Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, you know, Scott, let's get your background a little bit. What is your background? How old are you? Where are you from?
So, I'm Scott, 24, about to turn 25. My background's actually in STEM. I got a degree in chemistry about 2 or so years ago. And while I'm still trying to figure out what to do with it, and I guess start my life, as it were, I got into video making and documentaries and that sort of thing, and have just been working on my channel for the past year and a half or so. Wanted to cover topics that I think are relevant or important, and I believe that criminal justice reform, prison reform, so on and so forth, are important topics, and covered it in the video that we're discussing right now. So.
Well, you know, you did a great job. First of all, this documentary, everybody, is just tremendous. They're really well edited, well put together. A couple of things, too. Are you a criminal?
No.
You ever been arrested?
No.
Never been arrested?
No. I've been stopped twice by the cops for not having my headlights on, and that's it.
What a
criminal.
Truly scum of the earth.
You fuck. Throw them away. Lock the key up. Throw the key away. Okay, so you never did anything like that. Do you do drugs?
I'm in Colorado, so.
That means yes. No.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you know I'm pro everything. I'm pro choice making.
No, of course.
You know, and I believe in that. And everything we do, you'd be pro choice making. I'm just trying to give people a background. So why did you get into this? What made you want to know about prisons?
I can't recall the exact trigger for me wanting to cover this, but before I did this private prison documentary, I did a video discussing police dogs. I don't know if you guys saw that on the channel itself.
No, we're going to have to look at that one now.
I think it's called, like, The Problem with Police Dogs or something like that. Are police dogs as reliable as we thought? I change the titles around in the videos every now and again.
Smart. Very smart.
Yeah. I'm going to get in trouble
now. Yeah, you got to play that YouTube game, man.
Shit. You're going to get me in trouble, Scott.
That. You just got Nick in trouble and everybody in trouble. But yes, go ahead, Scott.
But the origin for the police dog video, that actually comes from a interaction that I had with, I guess, a friend of a friend. I was moving out of Texas, and a buddy of mine took me out on a night in the town. He invited some of his friends as well. And one of said friends was a canine unit officer. And as the night was winding down, we were at some bar. They were closing things down. They asked everyone to leave. We were just chilling in the sort of like patio area waiting for a ride to arrive. And the canine unit guy got to chatting with another patron who was a prosecutor. And when he mentioned that he was a canine unit officer to the prosecutor said something like, "Oh yeah, you guys lie all the fucking time." Not what? Making it up. So that, like, got some gears turning in my head. This was maybe 2 years ago. Yeah, about 2 years ago exactly now. And stuck with me. And about a year ago, I looked into it a bit myself, and I found some of the just ridiculous aspects of police dogs in this country, how they're very poorly regulated, how people give them much more credence than they're really worth, how there's no mechanisms for reporting the actual accuracy of dogs for drug sniffs. It's police dogs, in my opinion, are a very under-acknowledged issue in criminal justice in this country. And when I learned about this, I thought, okay, this is something that's like worth discussing because, again, it's something that not a lot of people know of, not a lot of people appreciate. And made that sort of even shorter documentary video, whatever you want to call it, discussing police dogs about a year ago. And then that kind of got me into the criminal justice reform, prison reform scene. And then I made the private prison doc. So.
Well, you know, that is great. I'll tell you why. Because if you did your homework on this prison dogs, you probably came to Florida. And there's a few cases about faulty dog handlers in Florida, right here in Brevard County, Florida, where they put people away for life on...
Because the dog said so.
Yeah, no, no. Fuck. I mean, because bullshit.
Yeah, and, yeah.
He'll know the cases. There's one called the Dread case. There's another called William Dillon's case. There's, and these dogs are such bullshit that, you know, what they know, what they don't know is people think, oh, this dog can do. First of all, they're triggered by the guy who's his hand, like, can move his thumb up, pressure, and then he sits.
Yeah.
And then, oh, that's a telltale sign of a drug. That's bullshit. The only accurate way, and I noticed from criminal defense, as working on criminal defense cases, the only real way to tell if a dog is really true is you're supposed to let the dog off the leash. And then the dog goes around and sniffs and finds it wherever he's going to do it. To trigger the dog.
That makes sense.
Oh, sure. When they walk a dog around a car and they go, he triggered that there was drugs in the car. Sure, the fucking handler just moved his, you know, he moved his pinky, put a little pressure on the leash and the dog sits down. Oh, that's a trigger, and then they have that on film, and they can't see the hand, and all of a sudden, oh, look, he sat, so he must have known what he was doing. That's what he's trained to do. It's such bullshit, and it's, again, what is humans is error, but there's, even with dogs, but as far as actual sniffing, I mean, they're good for, in my opinion, not those cases, like a bomb case. You want to put a bunch of luggage out there and let a dog go, and if he can pick out that fucking luggage, in, you know, with a bomb in it, good for him, and then he's real, you know what I mean?
But, yeah, for sure.
But not when it comes to criminal defense stuff like with finding and like a stop, especially those guys, canine units. And I think some of the people, criminal defense lawyers are really catching on to a lot of that. And it depends on how much they want to push it, and it depends on how good your lawyer is to defend them and stuff like that. But, you know, we're going to get into that one because I like that one. That's another one because this case is right here. People, life sentence, guys, got out now. And it always, it's crazy.
It's just gross.
It is. So you got passion. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just sad that we've allowed these issues to fester, that we have permitted issues like police dogs, like private prisons to kind of go under the public radar and have the, again, gross issues surrounding them not explored or discussed or, God forbid, reformed. So.
Wow. You know, I love to see this out of a 24-year-old guy, you know, that has the passion for this guy. Right, Nick? I mean,
Your vocab is off the charts. Yeah. Fester.
Thank you very much.
I was watching your videos.
Well, Nick, he's educated, not like you.
Yeah, I need to read a thesaurus. I need to read a thesaurus. Hand me one.
You need one. Yes, you do. You need a dictionary and you need spell check.
Oh, for sure, spell check. Yeah, don't double check me on that one. I'm typing. I'm like, Larry, get away from me.
So, Scott, I love to see that young people get into this kind of stuff because, you know, I preach this. How'd you find me in our channel?
I do not remember. Just came across you one day, enjoyed the content. It might have been on one of those, collaborations you did with other sort of more produced news channel sort of things talking about...
like CNN or...
Maybe your breakdowns on how crimes were committed in certain movies and whether or not they were accurate or whatever.
I did that Vanity Fair.
I don't quite recall.
Yeah, Vanity Fair was the first one I did. And that's like 11, 12 million views. And that one I did on Vanity Fair that actually launched my YouTube career, actually, because they screwed me. But anyway, it was funny. I look back and I look and I say, when I see young people catching on to some of the stuff I talk about, because I want to tell everybody out there, you have to go check this show out and just go to, it's called Private Prisons, the Most Evil Industry in America. And that's the name of the video, Private Prisons, the Most Evil Industry in America. And your numbers, where did you get your numbers? Because your numbers are pretty accurate from what I know of numbers. Now, I know maybe, you know, not as late as 22, probably 2020, but I do know about a few things in prisons I'm going to go ahead with as well and talk about. But where did you get your numbers?
Mostly just poking around online, looking at articles discussing private prisons either as an industry or looking at specific examples of private prisons. One private prison I look at specifically is the Silverdale Detention Center in Tennessee. And getting some of the numbers and getting some of the data surrounding Core Civic's handling of that facility. For reference, the Silverdale Detention Facility was the first, or at the very least one of the first private prisons operated, I guess, in the modern era, opened in 1984, a very fitting year for such a industry to be birthed. They pretty much just ran it into the ground, extracting additional, I guess, profits and wealth off of the operation of the facility by just not paying for the maintenance thereof, even though the state of Tennessee would have reimbursed them for repair costs, if I remember correctly.
You're talking about, obviously, that prison. Private prisons actually started a long, long, long time ago.
Private prisons, of course, they started a long, long time ago. But for a while, they weren't really a thing. Like, you go to the early to mid-1900s, it was mostly just state and federal operations. Then in the 70s, due to the war on drugs, you had an increased need for just prison facilities. So the government subcontracted it out to private entities and, again,
I don't know if you knew CoreCivic was actually CCA, which is
Corrections Corporation America.
Yeah, and then they have GO. And, you know, it's funny because there's a warden I talk about on this show that I don't use the word hate, but I dislike him a lot. His name is Lamana, and John Lamana. And now he works for GO. I don't give a shit about him, man. Maybe he's going to fall into a puddle or something. This dude is just a piece of shit. Now, of course, he goes from the Bureau of Prisons, Federal Bureau of Prisons, right to the private industry, you know, and what does that mean?
Oh, yeah, revolving door politics. Brilliant.
Oh, it's absolutely. And here's what happens is they go there and they know how it works here. They know how to get the contract. They know the bullshit. Did you know one of the biggest things I found out when I got out, Scott, was, did you know wardens, even in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, wardens get a bonus. They get a bonus on how much money they save. How the fuck is that even possible when you're talking about human lives and you're talking about, oh, man, I got to get a bonus. Man, I need a bonus this year. Let's not feed them this week.
It sounds like my restaurant managers.
I mean, really, it boggles my mind when they, you know, and
I'm with you there 100%. It's a perverse incentive. You get rewarded for not doing your job properly.
Absolutely. You get rewarded for hurting other people. I mean, whether it's the guards, because they cut down on overtime, so then they're putting them at risk. This has come right from the union boss, which is a guy named Massey, who's been on my show. He's a guard that guarded me. He was the head of the union in Jessup, and he's a friend of mine now. And he's been on this show a few times, and he's a great guy. And him and I really are, he guarded me. It was funny. And then I didn't know he was the union president and all. He ended up going to jail himself for some. He actually was bringing in creatine and cigarettes just to help pay for his mother's medication because he didn't get paid enough. And it's true. I mean,
there's a lot of problems surrounding that, I guess, tragedy. But yeah.
Oh, it's just the whole industry is, you know, blew me away when he told me as the union, because he knows that as the union guy. They get bonuses, so when they cut back on food or they cut back on some quality in this or whatever, like you said, Scott, not doing your job or not trying to treat people humanely, and you get a bonus. Are you fucking kidding? You know, then let's go to the private prison part. Now you send this guy to the private prisons, this guy Lamana, right? And I know. Now, he fucked over people in the feds, so he knows what he can get away with. I mean, big time with lawsuits and everything else, because that's what they know. They're good at that. And then they go to a private prison and they just fucking have leeway and they're making big money. You know, they went away from making a couple hundred grand in the feds, you know, which I'm at least, and then with bonuses and shit. And then they go to the private industry, probably get stock options. Like, you know, I read your one thing, the one guy of running GO made $4.5 million this year, last year, I think it was 2020, $4.5 million. I says,
yeah,
not a bad fucking little thing to go around and fuck people over. I mean, what the fuck does he... I guarantee that dude. I'd like to look him up. I bet he worked in the Federal Bureau of Prisons or he worked in the prison system of some sort.
And I'm not too sure on said CEO's background, but it's just shocking that people are able to shut out any shred of humanity they have just to operate a system that runs on grinding people into dust and ruining their lives as efficiently and effectively as possible just so they can get another fucking yacht or something.
You know, Scott, it's nice to see somebody like, you know, what I tell people, and you could add this into it, is you're going to get people who, in what you're doing, saying, fuck them, they're prisoners, they don't deserve it, they really cause damage on people, blah, blah, blah. And I get that all the time. So the first thing I say is, okay, I get what this guy's coming from. My next point to the guy is, did you know that over 95% of all people who go to prison are getting out? Then they go, oh, yeah, that's the numbers. Over 95% are getting out of prison. Now, when you take that number and you say, okay, the recidivism rate, depending on where you come from, if you come from the hole, it's 70-something percent. If you come from regular, it's over 50%. Now, you take that number and you say, well, who do you want living next to you? Do you want the guy that gets out and he'll give a fuck? He knows he's going back. I'll just fucking rob or kill somebody when it's time and I can't make it. And you're the fucking next victim. Or do you want the guy that wants to work, he wants to pay his taxes, he wants to, you know, try to become a solid citizen and make it out there? Because for whatever reason he went in, he went in. You know, I'm not going to go into that part of it because there's a zillion reasons why people go to prison. It could be mistakes, it could be bad choices, it could be addiction, it could be a lot of issues. You can't tell me a kid growing up in the ghetto with gunshots over his head and his mom's a hooker and his dad's fucking in and out of jail is the same kind of rate than a kid who's growing up as a doctor's kid. And he's going to the nice school and he's got two solid parents, so to speak. They're probably more fucked up than the other parents. But anyway, my point is, it's you cannot tell me it's the same. You cannot do that to me because I've seen it. I've witnessed that. I mean, I've talked to enough people come into prison, people in prison, and, you know, what makes people come to prison? You know, listen to me. You know, I tell everybody, I have a very, very good friend of mine. He's the chief of police of Lake St. Louis, a former police chief. He's the one who actually swore me in, and he believes in what I do. And I'm not a cop lover, so it took a lot for me to do that because I have a good reputation as not, you know, I hold cops accountable. I still do to this day. Now, he said to me, Larry, he goes, you know why I have such compassion for people? He goes, I'm sitting here right in front of you right now. If it meant me feeding my kids and my family, I'll rob from you. I'll shoot you. He's right. He's honest with himself. People will do what they have to do to get what they need to do, whatever they think is right or wrong. I mean, most people go to a different route and whatever it is. But he's right. And that really makes people think, I would never do that. Fuck you, you'd never do that. Then you're going to crawl up in a ball into the corner of a fucking sewer and fucking die. Because that's not going to happen. You're going to do what you have to do to survive. Period.
Exactly.
You know, I often tell people, you want the apocalypse to come here? Let's make it mayhem. I'm winning. You know, I don't mean that. I mean that I'm capable. I know what I'm capable of doing. Some people don't.
No, yeah.
And I think most people are capable of doing what they have to do. And I like that you opened the eyes on that end. You didn't talk about why people went into prison. You talked about a broken system that is not helping. The only one thing there I would have liked to seen is, did you know X amount of people are getting out? So now, in this documentary, people say, oh, fuck, man, we're doing all this to the prison.
You know, really good point. As you said, 95% of people are going to be back into the general public. So making sure that they don't feel as though society has completely turned their back on them by throwing them in a dank, dark 19th century tier prison and allow them to rot is a good way of preventing them from saying, fuck it, I don't care about society because society doesn't care about me.
Absolutely. You know, and I often talk about that. And it took me years, you know, when I went on the speaking circuit, you'd get people, you know, I believe I would never. First of the two, three things people always do. They say, you know, I don't care about prison. I would never do a crime. I said, oh, really? Now I was in front of 300 people. And a guy goes, well, I understand, but I would never commit a crime. So, you know, what they do to them, I really don't have a heart for. And I said, oh, really? I said, let me ask you, sir, did you ever drive 20 miles an hour over the speed limit? You know, passing somebody along the road. He says, I'm sure I did. I said, well, you know, if you killed someone that at that point because something happened, that's vehicular homicide. You're going to be my cellmate, and I'm going to fuck you in the ass. And everybody fucking started fucking shutting. I mean, it was like quiet in the whole place. And then I said, I'm just giving you an idea of why you're saying you never can commit a crime. Everybody, did you know the average citizen commits a crime every day? That's the truth.
That doesn't surprise me.
No,
I think I saw some
with jaywalking and, you know, there's jaywalking and trash throwing and there's a zillion things you're going to be committing crimes. Maybe not my mother because she never leaves the house. But the average citizen.
She's committing crimes.
Yeah, in the head. Yeah. She's doing conspiracies.
She's out here scamming people.
Yeah, my mother. Yeah. So I think that's one thing I tell people, that anybody, believe it or not, can go to prison. Second, I tell people is, listen, first of all, even the worst of the worst, when we don't treat people with humanity, I don't believe in a death penalty. And people go, why? First of all, the death penalty is proven to be a non-deterrent. It means nothing.
Exactly.
It costs more money to put a person to death. 3 times more money to put a person to death than it does to incarcerate him. Second of all, and if you want to talk about justice, Jeffrey Dahmer was on the yard for 8 years in Massachusetts, and they killed him. Whitey Bulger was on federal prison. He went into a federal prison. He transferred him in 12 hours. They cut his eye, took his eye out, was cutting his tongue out and killed him. You know, that's death sentences. And that's a worse death sentence than you can ever give somebody, because now that guy doesn't know when it's going to come. So, I mean, I think just that the laws of nature are going to work in its own right. You know, I don't care what you tell me. I think if they would have let Charles Manson out on the yard, he would have got killed one way or the other. You know, I mean, he would have never lasted as long as he did. He would have got killed.
Pretty much.
And most people don't get that. I think, you know, and being in that environment and living in that environment for life, I lived in that maximum security prison. I was with lifers, and I wonder how they do it. You know, I wonder how they don't just take their own life sometimes.
Nobody
you know?
Was running around trying to make wooden keys.
No, you know, we watched that movie, Escape from Pretoria, which was the prison in South Africa. But no, it's, you know, people try to escape, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's all they did. And I would too. You give me life sentence, that's all I would, 24/7. Think how to get out of there, you know?
Make it a challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Trust me on that, Scott. It'll be a challenge.
I can only imagine.
They have no problem, the prison system, of spending money on new ways to put more fencing or crap or whatever the hell it is in their fence. You know, when they build these prisons, and they cost $30 million, $50 million to build a prison, you know, and if you ever go into a federal, if you go into a private prison, they are built exactly like federal prisons. It's like those wardens came here, they went to the designers and said, let's do it like this, exactly like this. It's the Fed, because they know the feds do it right, you know, or the states do it right. They know that. You know, and now that, and but what you said in here, Scott, in your documentary about how they cut corners, you know, you had one cut there. Nick started cracking. Yeah. Tell him that one.
Now he started listing things off, and he instantly just.
He goes, you started listing.
Oh, they cut corners.
He goes, you listed all the problems, then you go, and here's how they do it. Ah, they cut corners. How do they save money?
Yeah, something like that.
It was well done. Your documentary is top of the line. Do you have any other documentaries in line coming up?
The one that I'm working on at the moment is discussing a history of Nintendo. Video game company.
I was Nintendo? Just talking about that stuff. I'll watch a whole 2-hour video on someone trying to bring back a Wii game. You know, or
no, I read you. This thing's going to be like an hour and a half, hour 45 or something.
See?
From how it's looking.
Told you, Larry.
Wait a minute.
I was just talking to Larry about this type of essay videos. Content. Like, I will watch a 2-hour video on someone trying to bring back a Bulbasaur. You know, like.
What is wrong with you
just
guys?
Like, hyper niche video game topics.
Yeah.
See, and I'd rather spend an hour and a half on a porn site.
Yeah, see, that's where we're a
little
different. Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, but okay, let me get going. So now you have your channel. And I'm going to get on your channel. You have the video. I want to definitely watch the other video, the dog handler. And what other videos you got there that people would like? You got to give me something.
No, I get you.
I'm excited for the Nintendo video now.
The what?
I'm excited for the Nintendo video.
Well, you know. Go ahead.
Some of the most recent videos that I did are, like, gaming topics, I suppose. YouTube, gaming, you know, match made in heaven, I guess. So they've been doing relatively well. Feel free to check those out if that's something that you're interested in. Audience, which I'm now talking to.
No, no, you are talking to the audience, and I'm going to talk to them because Nick and I are going to be doing a GTA video.
Yes, we should have done that yesterday.
We're going to do one live, and we might do one live tonight, and then it's up to Nick, see how busy we are. And we do one a video live tonight, and then make an actual video for it, like a shorter video that'll go out Wednesday on the best parts of that. I'm not that great at gaming. Let's just put it that way. You know, I used to play Pong. You remember? You guys don't remember Pong? You guys weren't born.
Oh, we remember Pong.
Yeah. Well, we know of Pong. You never really played it because that was what, the 70s.
Yeah, 80, maybe early 80s.
It was on the school computers.
You know, and it's funny because I mean, I just did when I went to, you know, my video gaming was pinball machines. You know, that's really was. We used to go to head shops when we were kids, and you know, I'd go to the head shop and play pinball, and that was like a big deal.
We're over here killing hookers in second grade on Grand
Theft
Auto.
You guys are on Grand Theft Auto. You guys are on Grand Theft Auto, like raping someone, going to have a drink and everything. I go, what the hell these fucking kids got today? We were playing with a ball, running around, hitting a fucking bell. Fuck you. And then you call our generation.
Like, I'm just driving. No, my parents look away. I got 5 stars. I'm killing people. I'm just driving around.
Yeah, the cops are chasing you. It's in your headphones so they don't hear the sirens and shit.
No, I didn't have headphones back then. It was just turned down.
Oh, turned down.
It was just turned down.
What game do you play, Scott?
I emulated a lot of games, so play a lot of classic stuff. Been like doing a replay of Luigi's Mansion recently.
You play
actually.
Monkey Ball?
Hell yeah! Super Monkey Ball, hell yeah!
Super Monkey Ball all the way.
What is that?
Fuck yeah!
Should I play
that? I'll get you to play it. Hell yeah! It's just an obstacle course. It's an obstacle course game where you're a monkey in a ball, and then you do obstacle courses.
You're a monkey and a ball?
In a ball. You're in a ball like a hamster.
Oh, and I have to run
it's
around.
Like a little castle thing.
Yeah, you just do obstacle courses.
It's
do people do people play this?
I played it for hours and days.
Would
on
you
end.
Watch me playing that?
Yeah. I feel like you'd get mad enough. I'd watch it.
True. Yeah. I was about to say, there's like on the downside, what 50s or something, doing a game like that. Upside potential rage. So
yeah.
You know, perfectly attuned for the algorithm.
Yeah.
Potential rage. No, guaranteed rage.
Guaranteed rage.
No, I, you know, obviously I've played GTA. One of my most viewed videos, 7 million views, is me reviewing a GTA game. Somebody playing a GTA game. And I got into it a little bit. But I got a lot of backlash when I had one of my grandsons play with
he
me.
He was like 6, too.
No, he was 8, maybe.
I can see some people taking a bit of issue with a 6-year-old going on GTA.
No, he was about 8 or 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes it all better.
Yeah, it was 9.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he knew what a gun was then.
But that's what I was saying. I was doing the same thing, you know, like.
Well, everybody has. So somebody goes, Larry. Or then other people said, that's a cool grandpa.
The duality of man, whether or not you have a.
He's over here playing the game for you and you're narrating it.
Right.
He's your ghost player.
You saw that, right?
Yeah, I saw it. He was your ghost player.
Oh, because he was good. He's telling me what to do. Oh, he knows you go in here, go to the bar, get a drink. What? What are you talking about? Yeah, you walk in here.
He pulls
gun.
He pulls you up a chair. Come on, sit down.
You know what he says? He goes, no, come on, we can go in here. We can get guns. Oh, look at this gun. It shoots one. Wow. Let's blow somebody's head off while we're at it.
And you did.
And we did.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good. I look at all of that stuff, what we're doing, Scott, with gaming and what you're doing. You know, it's nice to see somebody your age, obviously your intelligent level, pick up on a couple of topics. I mean, it's great to have fun. We all do it. I do it. Everybody does. We have our getaways, I call it. But it's really nice to see somebody like yourself, Scott, who has a passion for some social issues. You know, we all, listen, we can't change the world. I tell people, say, why do you do it? It doesn't mean anything. Nick is big on that. Nick goes, why should I vote? You know, you told me how you used to corrupt.
Don't put this into changing the world.
Well, no.
You talk about corrupting people, and then you turn around and you tell me to vote. Come on now.
Well, yeah, see, he...
Come on now. You've already doubled down that you agree with me, so...
Well, I... You know, you've convinced me a little bit. But, you know,
Why don't you vote? I corrupt people all the time. Oh, okay. That's going to get me into a booth.
Yeah, but, you know, listen, you can't look at guys like me. I was a bad guy back then. So I'm not a bad guy anymore, so I wouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah. All these guys are good guys.
No, they're not. Uh-huh. Nobody's saying they are. But if you look what Scott is doing. If Scott said that about this, he's hoping some people see that video. Somebody down the line, maybe a year, 2 years, and today, tomorrow, someone hears this show, hears that show.
I'll vote for Scott, all right?
Absolutely. Listen, and they see it, and they maybe take hold of something. You know, one of the rewarding parts of this channel and YouTube is I get young people call me and say, listen, I'm going into corrections. I said, good. I mean, I don't hate you. Good, go. But be the right kind of guard. You know, don't become jaded. In the system, I says, and don't let the, you know, what happens with most people, they go in, it's like politics. Most people go into politics with the right kind of attitude, and then they become corrupt because the system is overwhelms them, and they don't think they can get anything done, and before you know it, they say, fuck it, might as well make money anyway. And that's what is the problem with corrections. They go in there and say, oh, I'll be a good guard. We go. Now they're hanging around with their guys. They're in the lounge. They beat the shit out of someone. Their adrenaline's going. Hey, that was pretty good, man. Fuck him, man. You know, he was a fucking rapist anyway. What the fuck? And they justify whatever they do, you know? And I don't want people. But I've gotten people to call and say, listen, I've got many guards have called. He says, I'm out of corrections. You remember that one guard from California?
Hector.
Yeah. Hello? You there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what happened there. And
sorry about that.
No, that's all right. And he said actually a Hector 16 years in corrections. And they'll call and they'll say why the system's so broke. You know, and it's about the people. It's not the system. First of all, you said all the numbers so correct, Scott. We're the most incarcerated country in the world, not just per capita, per straight numbers. I mean, think of that. India, 1.4 billion people, same as China, 1.4 billion people. And we have more people incarcerated than those countries. Think of that. That's fucking nuts. They are three or four times bigger than us. We're 350 million. So add that three times, right? So that's four. They are three times bigger than us. And they have less people incarcerated than the United. And this is the next line. Oh, yeah, but they kill them in China.
We have about 4% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's prison population.
Yep, you're exactly. So, that was my next one. Yep,
six times over inflation. It's worrying, honestly.
It's so worrying that, you know what? It kind of gets me to that point, Scott, that people say, oh, man, we live in the greatest country. We live in a free country.
When did the numbers start going up, like rapidly, do you know?
Anyone know?
In the 70s and 80s. Okay. The war on drugs. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Ronald Reagan made the biggest mistake in history. And I marched for him. You can see it on
the wall. So fucking true.
That was the biggest mistake ever in the country's ever made is the war on drugs. Because first of all, let me explain how much they lied about drugs to begin with. And I'm not sitting here going to be a big druggy pro-drug, and I am pro-drug, is they talked about how bad LSD was for you. And they have found out to this day that LSD is one of the best drugs you can do for PTSD and depression. And they lied so bad about drugs because they couldn't control people. There's a study, you can go online and look it up, where the military took two units. One unit, they gave LSD, the other unit, they didn't. And the one on LSD did the mission twice as fast with half the mistakes.
Now, are you talking about... How much? I want more facts on this. How much LSD were they on? Were they on the LSD during the mission, or did they take it before the mission?
On it,
because I really doubt someone's taking two tabs of acid and getting a mission done faster.
If I had to guess,
you know, they might have been like very microdosed.
They're totally microdosed.
Yeah, sure. I just want to throw, because when someone says they're tripping. Now, if you're microdosing, that's when you start.
Oh, no, 100%. Listen,
treating
it
as medicine, and you start.
You told me when you were young, Nick, you used to do acid, and you could drive.
Yes.
I can't.
Yeah.
If I did acid, I do not want to drive. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's the
I'm
last thing I want
to
do.
It was a good decision, but yeah, that's what we would do. Yeah, we would drive around.
You could actually drive.
Yes.
I could never. Now, we're talking like with the military. I'm sure it was microdosing. But what I was getting at, forget the dosage because that means nothing. What I'm really getting at is the lie that the government gave.
It's kind of like, you ever seen a Pineapple Express when they're testing weed in the beginning and all the government guys are like telling the guy to smoke weed, and then he kind of starts making fun of the government guys because he's high, and they get all butthurt, and then they're like, this shit's illegal. This is done. You're making fun of me.
Well, you know, that is exactly right. What has happened is, listen, the Heart Association, the biggest association for heart health and all, lied to us for fucking years. And this is proven now.
Yeah.
They knew that the food pyramid should have been upside down. It's not supposed to be breads and all this shit is the most you eat and all that. That's all upside down, all the way to the proteins on the top, you know, the pyramid.
It's great. We have the internet now that you can get it's other amazing, information.
But it's amazing that they did this knowing they were killing people. This is the Heart Association. They knew this. They knew this in the 70s or 80s.
I'm saying they did it so easy because no one had, you know.
Nobody, and it was all about money. Yeah. And they were just doing more and more open heart surgeries.
Whatever this
and everything
source said was right.
You know, it just pisses me off, to be honest with you, about what lies. That's why I'm not a big a believer in just, oh, the government said this. You know, during COVID, fuck you and your mask. And it wasn't just because, listen, I had doctors and I did take vaccines. I did what I did. And because I took the general rule of people who know medicine or whatever, and then made my choice. Now, I knew from doctors and everybody I knew that those masks meant absolutely fucking nothing. You know, the bullshit mask you put on your face or whatever it is.
Where people had them below their nose.
It's just bullshit. It's all kind of, the particles of the virus was so small compared to the
filtration
system. It was bullshit. They had people washing their fucking mail and mail. Fruits. And Peter. Mail. I love him. And I said, oh, my God. Now, he was sick. Peter had a transplant. So, you know, obviously, he's immune compromised. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just one of these people who are not a government believer in a lot of things. Because at my age now, I've seen so much. And I'm glad to see young people like Scott, even you, Nick, question things. Yes, there's certain things that, you know, I think you have to take somebody's word for it over somebody else's. I'm not a big conspiracy theory that fucking, you know, fucking Kennedy was killed by fucking, not Oswald, but a CIA. That's hard for me to believe.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy.
Well, you know why? I just don't believe it. I have a shirt I keep here. It's called Two Can Keep a Secret if Three Are Dead. Three can keep a secret if two are dead, meaning you can't keep a secret like that for that many years and without people coming out.
Well, that's why they killed them all.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why a lot of these lies surrounding these industries and these organizations are getting exposed in the first place. We have the free and open information with the internet now. It's
that's
just
what I was saying.
So easy to, you know,
find a source and make an opinion.
Pull back the curtain, as it were.
Yeah, you're right, Scott.
And bring it out to a much broader audience than a smaller audience that could, you know, keep the ruse going a bit longer, as it were.
Sure, like the news.
Again, not to get into, like, something super conspiratorial, but, you know.
He's right. You're 100% right. You know, you got news organizations, whether, I don't know, now. First of all, the 24-hour news cycle that happened about 30 years ago with CNN.
Oh, I got a nice video for you to react to after this.
You know, that to me, the CNN news, you know, the 24-hour news cycle really upset the apple cart because it was at a point where, you know, hey, people got the news at 6:30 at night, maybe in the morning when they got up and listened to the radio. This is when I grew up. There was no cable, none of this shit. When I grew up, it was nothing, you know. Yeah, you watched the evening news, you know. My point is, I love it.
And it was facts. It was all religious facts.
Yeah.
That's all you could see. So it was 100% true all the time.
You know what was the best part? I'm a reader, and you know
really,
that, Nick.
Yeah. And, I know you're a reader. Yeah.
And I would even read back then, so I would read encyclopedias.
Yeah.
And I would fucking catch them fucking doing so many lies back then. It's like, and I'm going, wait a minute, I just heard this on the news. And I'd say, Mom, hey, look at this. I don't worry about it. What did the teacher tell you?
Yeah.
Fuck the teacher. You know? But anyway, now I love the fact that young people like Scott and yourself and people are questioning things. I think what you both all should know, and I'll give you both little advice, is just take older people at their experience level. Like me, Scott, when it comes to prisons and what I do, listen, there's not many people on the whole planet have the experience I have in prisons and going through what I went through. So
of course,
that is where the only knowledge I have over you guys is, yes, I'm educated. Yes, I have a degree. Yes, all that bullshit means nothing to me. What means more is my experience, you know, and I know Nick has more experience in what do they call that fucking shit, Twitter and Instagram and all that crap, even though I go mad and I get all that stuff and I try to learn about it. I think you have a lot more experience in ways of the internet and certain things. But always remember this too, Scott, if I can give you a little advice on that. When you do research on the bottom of somewhere, put where you get your numbers, because everybody now to this day, and me more than anybody even, we question numbers. You know, I question numbers. Like when I did my a survey for my program, I told where my numbers came from. Eastern Florida State College, they did a survey. They took the quantitative analysis from that survey of X amount of parents, and they did how they got that. Because people want to know now, because there's so much. You can go on the internet and find any fact you want. You know that. You want to go to an Alex Jones site?
100%.
You can go fucking get on anything on Alex Jones. You want to get to a Rachel Maddow site? You can get anything on Rachel Maddow.
It's like you know. MatPat. Food theory.
What is that?
Game theory. The carrot video I showed you, that man is about his numbers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's about his fucking numbers.
That guy's very good.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch that channel, Scott? Tell him.
I think I've heard of him. I don't know if I've seen too many videos of his, but I know what you're referring to, Nick.
Yeah,
he has a lot of stuff like that, and Nick shows me stuff. And it's interesting because once they come with the numbers and where they got them and how they did them.
He puts it in a way where he's like, here's a topic, but now, holy shit, you're learning about science. Look at you.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck you, dude. I'm here in class now.
No, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Because when you do something like that, you could see yourself and say, I got it. And this is why.
Because even those videos, I was like, where were these when I was in school, like in science class? Because I remember learning about the same stuff that he's
You want to get really going to school? Why don't they teach why don't they teach Americans how America became America by wiping out the fucking Indians?
That was always so confusing to me.
No,
man.
Wiping out the Indians.
Natives.
The natives. There I go. I'm being politically incorrect, I guess.
Well, I think you're being 50 something, whatever. That's just, I guess your language from that period, which
I'm just saying.
I feel like people are understanding of that, but I guess the general push at the moment is to refer to them as Native Americans, because that's just the more accurate term.
And I'm okay. I just forget it. Just like my friend Chris is a midget, right? And I had him on the show. And he's actually the boogeyman from WWE wrestling. He was the little boogeyman. He was with Hulk Hogan and all that in WWE. He's a friend of mine
Hulk Hogan. What a character.
So he comes, sits in here. Hey, Chris. I said, do I refer to you as a little person or a midget? He goes, Larry, I don't give a fuck what you call me. He goes, I know you. You know what I mean? And he's actually in his 50s. So he goes, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, people don't get that. They, you know, I don't judge anybody. First of all, I don't judge anybody for their past. You take people. Now, I am a libertarian. You probably knew that, Scott. But anyway, as a libertarian, what they did to Brent.
Well, you're going to be on a Joe Exotic's team soon, so.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to switch up.
Oh, what's he now?
I think he just switched to Dem. He was libertarian a couple years ago.
And now he don't want to be libertarian.
Yeah, he just switched.
Oh, he's got to switch to my fucking party.
He's trying to get you on his campaign.
No, he has to be on my fucking campaign. You think I let that motherfucker be the head of the fucking ticket? Or you fucking bumped your fucking head?
No, you're going to be on his campaign.
Oh,
you got a meeting at 3.
Oh, you're going to meet him with Joe Exotic? Yeah. Oh, God, that would be fucking funny as shit. But anyway, as I look at things...
I could get you one.
Who?
I said I could get you on the meeting.
You want to do a video?
Yeah.
We got to do a video. What do you think of that?
Just push 5. Just push 5.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the number?
Yeah.
And you'll get transferred right over to him.
No. What happens is when he calls me, I have
you
to
have
hit,
to push
5.
That's
to
what I'm saying. Just push 5.
I have to hit the
and you'll be
the
in the meeting.
Oh, that'd be fucking great. We'll put it right here on the air. That'd
Let's
be fucking funny as shit.
You want to?
You want not now.
No,
but
not right now.
Want to have a live show with Joe Exotic? Yeah. Oh, that'd be fucking crazy. Yeah, let's do it.
I'll hit it back up.
You got it?
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Let's do it.
What do you think, Scott? Do that?
Yeah, why not?
You know who he is?
Mix it up. Joe Exotic. Isn't he the Tiger King guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he's out
he's
there.
He's been in the DMs recently.
Yeah, that's how I describe him.
Yeah, you can describe him like I did. He's out there. Yeah. Real fucking out there. The whole fucking characters in that whole fucking series are out there.
What a show.
Oh, my
God. Those producers fucked everyone up on that show, and everyone's pissed. Every character on that show is pissed. That show
there is
came
not
out.
A happy ending. Everyone
got fucking scammed on that show. Everybody got told, everyone was told something different that was going on and what they were going to be portrayed as, and the show came out, and everyone's pissed. People got arrested. People lost their jobs.
Yeah, one guy even cut another arm off. No. Didn't one guy lose a leg?
Yeah.
He'll cut his leg.
And then
leg.
That girl lost an arm, right? He said, I'll never financially recover from this.
Yeah,
yeah, there we go. There's the line.
You guys are terrible. But what people don't tell you in history, you know, history, I mean, the Native American, we came here, we brought fucking disease and wiped them out.
Ravage.
And I have a friend, and you know who he is, Nick says, well, so I win, tough win, that's it. Remember, he's so funny as hell. And you know, and I laugh about that bit. But, you know, just tell the truth. We, you know, but there's an old saying, and this is the truth. Victors write the script.
Oh,
know?
For sure.
And good, bad, or indifferent, when you win.
That's why I want to read a real history book. Like, if there's a God
But how?
I'm saying if there's a God or something. And
but
you
how
one,
do you get real
wish,
history?
Because
it's coming from
is
somebody.
If there's a God or something and I die and I get a little wish, just give me a real history book, you know. And, I'll
and who
that.
Wrote it? God?
I don't fucking know. The you truth. See, the truth wrote it. I want a truth. The truth.
There is no truth. That's what I'm trying to get at.
If I had a fucking genie in a lamp that
there's
I could
still
rub,
no truth. That genie's going to give
me
his fucking
he's
going to
fuck me up, yeah.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, the thing with history and that sort of thing is that there's obviously revisionist history where you're making shit up about the past. But we also make new discoveries and we have a more broader understanding of history as time progresses. And to that end, if you want the fullest picture, a understanding of the past that is as close to the quote unquote truth as possible, you just need to absorb about as many different sources on particular topics or particular eras as possible to get, I guess, the most robust view of things. And to dovetail back into the discussion of the development of America and the treatment of Native Americans. The school system in this country is
come in
ever so eager to prop up, honestly, the myth of American exceptionalism and how fantastic the United States is and how flawless we are throughout history and in the present and what have you. And it honestly does a disservice to individuals, really, because it's just giving them a prepackaged perspective that puts them on the top at the expense of pretty much everyone else. And from that, gives Americans in the United States a obnoxious arrogance.
So true.
Makes them feel that we don't have to change or that we don't have to do anything better, that we're already at quote unquote, that the end. We've already quote unquote won when there's still so much to do to
you know,
improve
what,
ourselves.
When you think you're the best and you don't think you can get any better, and when people do that shit, oh, well, we're number one. Fuck you. I love this one. You know, these religious people fucking piss me off. How's this one? God bless America. Well, if God's great, why don't he bless fucking everybody? Why only America? If you really fucking love people, why God bless America? Well, what is America better than everybody else? Fuck that. You know, I love my country, but this elitism, and that's what's happened. That's why our prison system's the worst it is. You mentioned a bunch of stuff in your video, in your documentary. Your documentary really hit me. We are leaders in the worst categories. We have one of the worst school systems. We are 17th in the world in our school education. 17th.
I think I mentioned that it's student debt is that we're lead in student
we,
debt.
We lead
yes,
in student debt in the world.
It's pretty suboptimal.
I mean, all the stuff that that you mentioned in that, it was just, we, you know, okay, we spend the most on military than any other fucking country.
Like,
by
we spend
fucking
more than the
five times. Five times. The next 10 countries don't spend as much in defense spending as the United States. And then you can go into the incarceration rate, obviously, not only per number, not only per capita, per straight numbers. We spend more on that. We spend more on education with the least results than any other country in the world. Think of that. We are 17th ranked education, and we spend 10 times more than the 10th ranked country. So, I mean, at what point are we just fucking bullshitting everybody? And don't get me wrong. We can be better. We're not free. That fucking thing, oh, we live in a free country. Well, jerk off, there's 192 countries that are free. That you can go anywhere in their country. You can try the job. You can do it. If you think you're free in the United States, just fucking go look at a camera that when you get off Kennedy Airport. And it says, you are under surveillance at all times. That's free? Blow me. That's not fucking free. And a whole bunch of other stuff that's not free. You know, freedom is a mindset, number one. Because are you free right now to go live in Beverly Hills? Sure are. Can you afford it? No. So you're not as free as you think you are. Now, can you attain that? Maybe, maybe not. Or will the powers that be not let you get there? I don't know. You know, there's so much that we have to come to grips with and just be honest with ourselves with. You know, when everybody tells me, oh, we're the greatest country in the world, we're the freest country. Really? Tell me why we're freer than Canada, Spain, or France, or Italy, or Germany. Why are we more free than them? But we can move anywhere. So can they. Keep going. What they pay less taxes. Go ahead. What else? What else? They're better educated. Go ahead. What else? The fuck? Tell me. Oh, did they get shut up? Oh, you're not American. You're not a fucking American. And they wave the flag at me. Go suck my flag, motherfucker. I'll put it over my cock. Pissing me off. All right. Now you got me on a roll. All right, Scott.
No, but yeah, I agree entirely with that.
And Scott, let me emphasize this because somebody's going to take that out of context and put that on the internet. I love my country. I do that. You know that. I love my country, but I know and I am not afraid to talk about the flaws of this country. I have a honorable discharge from the United States military. The what?
To me, that's the truest sign of love for the country, that you're willing to criticize its issues and bring light to them so you can make an even better country. You acknowledge that we're not perfect, but that we can get closer. 100%.
100%. You know, I totally believe that. And I'll sit here until I die, and I'll say, listen, I live here, I'm born here, my kids here, my grandkids, but I want to make this country better. You know, when you see people and we keep putting their foot on their neck because of incarceration and private prisons and everything going on like that, we got to stop that. You know, the war on drugs, the biggest fucking bullshit thing that ever happened, Ronald Reagan. And I was a Reagan guy. I was a fucking brainwashed fucking kid when I went in the military at 17. And fucking, oh, bomb Iran in 1979, fucking Iran, I contra. I was big in this shit. I was fucking a big time fucking, and I still am. But man, we wanted to fight the world because Reagan said, he was a cowboy and he fucking got up there with his fucking Alzheimer's and fucking fucked up the world. And you know, and I look at that and I say, people are paying for that. And do you know how many people died for fuck? How many people went to prison for pot? For life and died in prison. And it's not even a joke. You know, Scott, I can't wait to watch your documentary on the dogs. I'm going to watch that today.
I'm excited for that.
I am. We're going to have to talk to Scott again.
When's
I enjoy
the Nintendo one dropping?
Uh-oh, he wants to know when the Nintendo's dropping.
Give me a few weeks on that.
Scott, Nintendo, come on, get better.
I'm gonna hold you to it.
Keep the dog shit. Keep the prisons.
Come on, man.
Hey, Larry's not your demographic. Just remember that.
Fuck you.
No, I know.
Oh, hey, fuck you both. You're not getting on the show. No.
You'll come back on, Scott.
Yeah, he will, definitely.
I appreciate it.
Scott, you're very good. I'm glad we met on Discord. We're glad we met everywhere. Keep up the great work, man. I want to thank you and everybody out there. And I'm going to mention this, too, on my YouTube. Nick, let's post this everywhere. Yeah. And I want to post this about...
Put it on the community page.
Yeah, community page. Private prisons. Check it out. The most evil industry in America. Private prisons. The most evil industry in America. It's by Scott from Ziggy Snake. And check out his channel.
Ziggy Snake.
Ziggy Snake, right?
Ziggy.
Siggy, fuck. Cigarette. Why do you make it so fucking difficult?
It's not difficult.
You know, listen.
It's
oh,
not difficult.
Fuck.
It's pure coincidence, Larry. Come on.
All right, you fuckers. I mean, listen, I'm an old man, but I loved your documentary, Scott. I really did. And it hit
Thank
home.
Thank you very much, Larry.
It hit home. You did a great job. And when I tell you that, because I know the prison system's more than most people, but and I really want to appreciate it. I want to get this to the right people. I think I want to even send this to Congressman Posey's office and a few people. I have some connections in the politics. It's that good. And, you know, you keep up the good work. I'm going to check out the dog handle. I'm going to send that to a bunch of criminal defense attorneys I know. And once I see it. And everybody, please check him out. That is Scott. He's from Colorado. He's from Colorado. And obviously, you smoke one for me out there. And
I'll probably do some edibles. I can't handle smoke at all, but I got you, Larry.
Please give it. I went out there. I just saw Steve Miller Band out in Red Rocks.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, Red Rock is fantastic.
Oh, man, what a place. I want to go back. But anyway, you have a great, great week, and thanks again, Scott. We will talk to you soon. Everybody, that is Scott. You have anything to say to the audience, Scott?
Just thank you for having me on. Thank you for allowing me to talk about this, get the word out on this documentary, and give some of my thoughts both on that and just things in general.
And you're 25 or 24, 25. Now go back to bed because we woke you up a few hours early.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Not wrong. All right, Scott, you have a great day. Take care.
You as well, Larry. Nick. Bye-bye. Take care, guys. Thanks.
What an interesting guy, huh?
Yeah, that was good.
What happened here?
Uh-oh.
I don't see anything. We're still working. I just don't see it. Hello? Oh. Yeah, but I don't know. Something happened there.
Were you capturing the audio?
The what? Oh, that's what it was. Hello? Yeah, here we go. Anyway.
Hello and goodbye.
No, hello. We're here. All right, we had a great show today. It was Nick and I. We spoke to Scott as a documentary guy. And we just got some guests in the office today, so we got to go sign a book for Chelsea's son. And my man Scott, Paul is here. So we're here to, you know, solve the world's problems again. And that's what we always do. Everybody, man. And
one
Nick, any,
podcast at a time.
Any report?
Just saying, one podcast at a time. We're solving the world's problems.
Keep it up, Nick. Yeah, I love it. You're going to throw you right out
welcome.
The fucking window.
You're
liking that. Nick, he was an interesting guy.
Yeah, he was fun to talk to.
Fun to
I'm
talk to.
I'm excited for his Nintendo video.
He was very, very intelligent young man.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And I like to see that. Nick, I want you to attain that.
You want me to read a thesaurus?
I want you to read at least a book.
Okay.
Forget a thesaurus. I'm a book. No, Nick is
someday.
Very good at what he does. Yeah, no, he won't. He said, I'll leave that to Larry. And all Larry does is read
Hey,
everything.
Larry, can you read this for me?
You know,
sure,
Nick
sure.
says
hey,
he gets mad at me. He goes,
you'll be so
Nick
excited.
Goes, Larry, you even read the directions in the supermarket on stuff.
You'll read the back of shampoo bottles. I'm like, what the fuck? We're not even here for shampoo, bro. You're reading the back of shampoo.
I
Let's
like
go.
To read.
Let's go. Let's go. You don't see, even have hair. You're reading shampoo bottles.
Nick, you see that thing on the wall? It says congressional record.
I can't
when,
read that.
When you have that. Then you learn to read. Because you have to
is
read.
Is that your reading certificate?
Well, yeah. Well, no, what it is I am in the congressional record. You have to read that. You can't hear that. It's that. So in another 300 years, when somebody looks back at the history of America, they're
going to
go, holy fuck, who was that guy, Larry Lawton? He was recognized by Congress, the most powerful men in the world? Oh, my God. Pretty, pretty big, yeah. Sounded good anyway. It is true though. But anyway, Nick, anything else to report? We had a great time with Scott. I really did. I want to watch that video. I'm gonna watch that today. You know I am. And you said there's a video you want me to react to.
Yes, there is.
Oh, we're gonna talk about that. Anyway, anything else to report, Nick?
No.
All right, everybody. Just stay tuned. Thank you. Please, everybody, make good choices and make sure that you think before you act. And stay tuned for our next show, Friday.
Don't touch anything.
It's the greatest find yet. Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.